You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now on today's show, I'm going to discuss a German Marquez to the New York Mets trade, whether this makes sense for both of these teams. In the first segment, I'm just going to talk about who Marquez is, if you're unaware, what he brings to the table for the Mets, and why the Rockies could look to trade him this offseason. Then in the second segment, I want to dive into his arsenal. What does he bring to the table? What can make him even better if he leaves that hitter-friendly park at Coors Field? And then in the last segment, we'll detail what a package could look like, how many top prospects the Mets had to give up to land this starting pitcher. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. So German Marquez turns 27 years old in February. He was an all-star this past season, although part of that was because the Rockies needed an all-star, but he still had a good year altogether. He has a career 4.28 ERA and pitching in Coors half the time. That's really impressive. You look at his home road splits, a 4.73 ERA at home, a 3.85 ERA on the road. Here's where Marquez is even more valuable than even just what the numbers would suggest as far as what he puts up on the mound. The Rockies signed into a contract right in the beginning of that 2019 season that is just ridiculously team-friendly, a five-year, $43 million deal with a luxury tax number that comes in at $8.6 million, which is of extreme value to a team like the Mets and Steve Cohen, where you have so many pieces on your roster that are going to cost a lot of money. This would be a starting pitcher you'd have under control for three seasons, essentially, who is just the perfect fit to slide in that rotation behind Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. And if you look at the breakdown of the contract, in 2022, makes $11 million. 2023, makes $15 million. Then in 2024, $16 million with a $2.5 million club option. Now, if you want to know how good Marquez is compared to other pitchers in baseball, just look at F-WAR since 2017. German Marquez at 15.6 is the 13th best pitcher in baseball. He's ahead of some other big names you might have heard of, like Jose Berrios, Marcus Stroman, Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Kevin Gausman, and Luis Castillo. So this is a pitcher who maybe doesn't get enough love because he's pitching in Colorado, but a really good starting pitcher, a really durable starting pitcher. He led MLB in innings pitched during the COVID year, but overall, since he became a full-time starter with the Rockies, he's made at least 28 starts a year, averaged more than that. So he has been a workhorse in that rotation. That's why the Rockies would be hesitant to move him, and there's been some conflicting reports on whether he is on the table. I think it was Ken Rosenthal who contradicted a report from John Morosi that he was on the table and said it's unlikely that he moves and unlikely that Luis Castillo moves this offseason from the Reds. So this is a trade where you're going to have to give a lot to get this pitcher because of that contract, because of what he can offer your team, but also because for the Rockies, they want to win the next couple of years. And as much as we think that every team that's not supposed to win a World Series next year is just automatically tanking, that's not always the case, right? There's teams that just want to make the playoffs. There's teams that just want to be 500 and be able to sell some tickets and have fans show up to the ballpark, and they don't want to just gut their roster. Right now for the Rockies, what they have with Marquez and Antonio Senzatella, they have a couple of guys who are locked up for them that can lead their rotation, and that is very valuable. But the Mets really need pitching. And if you look at the free agent market, which we will discuss throughout this offseason more, there's just not a ton left right now. A lot of the best pitchers went off the board. You got the best one in Max Scherzer. And we could also discuss how much you really need to go out of your way to bring in that next starting pitcher when you still have DeGrom, Carrasco, Taijuan Walker, and depth options of Tyler McGill, David Peterson, Jordan Yamamoto, Trevor Williams. There are names, but if you want to add another pitcher that really puts your team over the top, German Marquez is the guy that can come in that could be an all-star like he was this past season, but can even be better than he was in Colorado, because once he gets out of that ballpark, gets to a pitcher-friendly park at Citi Field, also maybe gets with the team that has some analytics behind them that can even maximize his arsenal even more, you could see a version of German Marquez that you still haven't even seen yet in Colorado. And that's what I want to talk about more in just a minute. If you look at some of his numbers, German Marquez, he has some of the most unhittable breaking balls in the game. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit more. But first, this holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar or even better than a candy bar with Built Bar, which is filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat while being high in protein. So you get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. Built Bar has so many flavors to choose from, whether it's raspberry, mint brownie, cherry, double chocolate, my personal favorite, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie. If you go to built.com, you can order a mixed box where you can try all the different flavors you want, customize it to your needs. Built Bar is the protein bar that will give you the extra fuel you need to get through your day. If you're about to go into a workout or just heading to the office, Built Bar is there for you. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Now, if you just look at German Marquez's numbers this past season, on a surface level, you might not come away too impressed. He had a 4.40 ERA, 176 strikeouts, and 180 innings pitched, a 1.27 ERA. But if you dive deeper, this is a pitcher that has so much potential, that can be so unhittable at times, that really can be better than that 4.40 ERA suggests. If you look at his xFIP, for example, which is expected fielding independent pitching, trying to limit things like park factors, you know, trying to tell you what someone who's pitching in Coors Field actually should be producing if their ERA wasn't inflated by the altitude. He had a 3.64 xFIP. So that tells you a little bit more about what Marquez can bring to the table. And that's also in line with his 3.62 career xFIP compared to a career 4.28 ERA. If you look at his arsenal, he has a 5-pitch mix, but really it's fastball, slider, curveball. And where he separates himself from other pitchers is the breaking stuff. His slider and curveball are ridiculous. If you look at whiff percentage, dating back to his rookie year with the curveball, 2016, 37.2%, 2017, 37.9%, 2018, 46.8% from a starting pitcher with their curveball, 2019, 44%, 2020, 43.3%, and 2021, 42.7%. You look at his slider. Now, he did not develop this pitch until 2017 and did not use it as a primary weapon until 2018. Starting in 2018, you got a whiff percentage of 42%, 2019, 38.1%, 2020, 46%, and this past season, 40.1%. He started to throw the slider even more than the curveball. He likes the pitch so much. You pair that with a fastball that this past season sat at an average velocity of 94.8 miles per hour in 2020, 95.9 in 2019, 95.7. So you had that fastball to get strikes in the mid-90s and two devastating breaking pitches. That is something that can really progress over time, where if you maybe even tweak how you're utilizing that arsenal, if you get some analytics behind you with the New York Mets and how they're building out their team and the infrastructure there to figure out how to sequence his pitches better so that those two unhittable breaking pitches can get even more strikeouts, be even better put away pitches, because batters struggle so much to square up the baseball against those breaking balls. Now, suddenly, instead of striking out 9 batters per 9, suddenly, who knows, maybe that jumps to 11. And he becomes even more dominant. He becomes another real weapon atop the rotation with Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer. If you look at the breakdown of how much he throws each pitch right now, it is 45% fastball, then 45% curveball slider with 10% sinker change. And those pitchers have not fared well. I'd almost scrap them entirely, particularly the changeup. But you're looking at a pitcher that, when it comes to barrel percentage this past season, was in the 86th percentile around the game. So guys are not squaring him up. He's inducing soft contact unless he's playing in Coors Field, and that altitude helps those batters. This is a pitcher that has even untapped upside for someone that was just an all-star. A really interesting player who's under a really team-friendly deal. If you're talking about trying to win now over the next 3 years with Max Scherzer, here's another pitcher that drops right into that. Another pitcher you'd have control over for 3 years. The luxury tax right now at 8.6 million dollars, his luxury tax number this upcoming season, which for Steve Cohen, that's even more important because, yeah, you might be spending 11 on him this year, but your luxury tax number, what you're going to get hit with at the end of the year, what you're going to get fined on, that's going to be a little bit less. So that money does add up. That makes that contract even more valuable to the New York Mets. This is a pitcher the Mets should be all in on, but how all in? I mean, is that a frame? Maybe that's not how that works. If you're all in, I guess you're willing to give up everything. This is a pitcher the Mets should be seriously interested in, but there's one prospect that I think I would hold out of this trade that might be the deal breaker in getting this done. I'll talk about that more in just a minute. BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as the football season continues to march towards the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using the promo code LOCKEDON. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so what would it cost to acquire German Marquez? Very interesting proposal here because you got a pitcher that's under team control for 3 years, a team that really has absolutely no direction, right? We don't know if they're trying to win, if they're not trying to win. We don't know even what the front office looks like. It seems like it is just a couple of guys trying to wing it out there. They bungled Trevor Story. They bungled John Gray. They ate money to trade Nolan Arenado after extending him. It is a complete mess. And at times, sure, that would be an organization you would want to trade with, but this isn't even an organization that seems to like trading their players too much. They hold on to them for too long, and then they don't get the return they would want to. I mean, Troy Tulowitzki, if I remember, another one. I can't remember exactly what that package was. Maybe it's better than I remember, but I remember it being a time where they traded Tulo after the injuries were at a point where you still didn't know what you were going to get, and I don't think they got what they could have had if they had traded him a year or two sooner. So I'm not confident the Rockies would even move Marquez. But if they do, it's going to cost a lot, and it's going to start off with a prospect that I'm going to talk about a lot more tomorrow. This is kind of a precursor to that show, which is this being the time to cash in on Ronnie Mauricio's trade value, because this is a prospect that certainly has an extremely high upside. One of the top prospects in baseball, but that could fall off. I'm really concerned about the plate discipline. He strikes out a ton. How is that going to continue to progress as he sees more advanced pitching? If you look back at Amed Rosario, right, at one point in time, one of the best prospects in all of baseball, the Mets could have gotten whatever they wanted to if they traded Amed Rosario at that time. They believed in him. They thought he was going to be their franchise shortstop. And then after he struggled, they end up trading him for the franchise shortstop in Francisco Lindor. And he was probably the fourth piece at the time in that deal when it came to his trade value. Anderson Mendez coming off a good 2020 season with more control, certainly considered a better trade piece. And the prospects the Guardians got back also considered more valuable in the context of that trade. So this could be the time to move Ronnie Mauricio, and that would be a good start here, especially because he's locked out with the Lindor piece at shortstop. If he ever had to move to third, you have Beatty, you have Vientos. There's just not a clear path for Mauricio. It could be the time to trade him, but it's going to cost more than that. What I like to do now when I want to pitch a trade, and I talked about this last week during the Josh Donaldson episode, instead of going to baseball trade values and figuring out their simulator and what it might look like, I just hit up my guy Aram Layton because he knows prospects inside and out for all these teams, the founder of Just Baseball, where I write. So I went back and forth with him on this, and my package apparently was not enough to entice the Rockies, where I was talking about Ryan Mauricio and JT Ginn as the starting point. And then from there, who knows what you add in? Maybe you add in a Tyler McGill to give them a starting pitcher that can slot into their rotation, and Dominic Smith. And that's how you formulate a trade package that would entice them, maybe giving them some players they can win with now and then some long-term pieces. When it came to what Arm said, he basically was pretty strong-minded on the fact that they would have to include Matt Allen to get this deal done. That the Mets would have to go Mauricio and Allen. That would be two top-tier prospects the Rockies would want to actually get them to consider moving German Marquez. And then you'd probably still have to throw in someone like Khalil Lee on top of that. So you're talking about three top 10 prospects in the Mets system right now. That's a steep price tag for a pitcher who has all of the talent in the world, but still has the career 4.28 ERA. Still, you're talking about 3 years of control when Matt Allen could blossom in a year, and suddenly you're looking at a pitcher that can be a frontline guy for you for 6 years. So that's a difficult proposition for me. When it all boils down, I don't think I give up Matt Allen in this trade, or maybe even any trade. The Mets need Matt Allen in their farm system right now. They don't have any other pitcher with that level of upside. And obviously, that's why you have to include him in a trade like this. If the Mets had more pitching depth in their minor leagues, if they still had Simeon Wood Richardson, and they still had Anthony Kay, who I know hasn't pitched great, but if they still had all the pitchers that Brody traded over the years, they still had now I'm blanking on the name. He was my guy too, the guy that got traded to the Orioles for Miguel Castro, Kevin Smith. If you still had some of these other arms, you could swallow the loss of a Matt Allen a little bit more. But now you're looking at your farm system, and the reason why I would include Ginn is because he's a pitcher that has a high floor, but the ceiling isn't that of a frontline starter. So that is the real breaking point when it comes to trading for German Marquez. The one thing I would say is, because you're negotiating with a front office that doesn't seem to know what they're doing, if they are enamored by Ronnie Mauricio, maybe there's a chance a trade could get done. And if it's something more along the lines of what I was discussing, where you can hold on to Allen and then maybe you have to give up some more pieces that are closer to the big league level, like, you know, already graduated prospects like Tyler McGill or a David Peterson that they might be interested in. If it requires a Dominic Smith going the other way, or even instead of Dominic Smith, let's just say it's Ronnie Mauricio, JT Ginn, Tyler McGill, and Khalil Lee. I mean, that's four prospects going their way. Obviously, McGill could slide right into the rotation. That's interesting for the Rockies, and maybe that's something that would intrigue them. Ultimately, it's going to be really hard to acquire a pitcher like Marquez this offseason, and that's where free agency likely still becomes the more attractive option. If you're talking about what the Mets are looking at this offseason, you know, last week I talked about the Josh Donaldson trade. That's a deal where it's not going to acquire a hefty prospect capital to acquire that player. With Marquez or any pitcher that is under team control for multiple years, it's going to eat into that farm system in a way that honestly is probably not what the Mets are looking to do this offseason. But if you're trying to win now, and it's all about a World Series in 2022, then you say screw prospects and you build out the best rotation possible. And if you go into next season with a rotation that starts with Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, and then finishes out with German Marquez, Carlos Carrasco, and Taijuan Walker, that's a veteran rotation. that you feel great about winning the division, and then if you make the playoffs, making some serious noise. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As I alluded to before, on tomorrow's show, I will have Jordan Grossman on as we are going to discuss other trades that could include Ryan Mauricio this offseason. As I just talked about, he is a prospect that you might want to cash in on now, especially if you don't have to give up other prospects like Matt Allen in a said trade. So we'll be discussing all of that more tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Locked On Bets is where you should go for your daily gambling needs. You can follow Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts.